Hello there, everyone, and welcome back to the first episode of Season 2 of Psyched to Be With You. I'm incredibly excited. This episode, content creator and streamer, Advent Dolphin Rider, joins me on the show. We chat all things content creation, video games, some photography stuff. I do also want to say there is a trigger warning in the episode for just literal like mentions of the word suicide, but it's just important that you know going in. They are just that. No more details are discussed any further than that, but it's just important that you know getting into the episode. It was a great chat. It was really fun. I hope you will enjoy this as much as I did. But otherwise, please enjoy. All the links you need to catch up with Advent and the show are below wherever you found this episode. Please enjoy it. Hello there, everyone, and welcome back to Season 2, back by unpopular demand of Psyched to Be With You, the podcast that is part of Blind Psyche, with me, your host, Christopher Leach, a.k.a. Chimp195. It is a pleasure and a privilege, as always, to be here today. Got it kicking off, as we mean to go on, in the new year, 2022. I have a very, very special guest I'm excited for you all to get to meet. I am psyched to be with you, so all that really remains for me to do is pass over to yourself. If you could please just tell us who you are and what you do.
My name is Christopher, a.k.a. Advent Dolphin Rider. I am a Twitch streamer, variety Twitch streamer, actually, because I don't play one game, but I play many games. So, I'm also wanting to get into YouTube, so we're just, you know, kind of getting into that this year. So
okay, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, let's not have any of this just of, because being a Twitch streamer is not a piece of cake. So let's get that out of the way. So I have some real admiration for you already. So what kind of stuff do you stream then? Your variety streamer, what do you play?
I usually do platformers mostly, adventure games, retro games. I've got a Nintendo 64 and an Xbox 360 and an original Xbox right over here. So I'm planning on adding a few more. Planning hopefully this year to get a Sega Genesis, so fingers crossed I can get that.
Nice. So what have you been sort of like playing recently? Have you done anything sort of, you know, we just hit the end of the year, did you do anything big or particular or special for the end of the year?
Not particularly, I guess. I 100% did Assassin's Creed Origins, which is like the first Assassin's Creed game in a very long while that I like 100% on stream, so I thoroughly enjoyed it. So it's a ton of fun. Highly recommend playing it. But yeah, there really isn't anything special. I guess, you know, I got back into playing Celeste, so that's something that I ended up doing like yesterday, 31st. So yeah.
Nice. I mean, Celeste is easily one of my favorite games. I've said it before on this show. I say it, I feel like, every week, but like I will die on the hill that I think Celeste is the best game ever. That's the hill. But it just has so much. It just has so much that I think makes it a wonderful, brilliant experience, and I think everyone should play it.
I recommend, even if you don't think you're good at it, even if it looks hard, and I like, from my experience when I was playing it for the very first time, I kept thinking to myself, I am no good at this. I'm not good at this game. There is no way that I can finish this. This is strictly for speedrunners and other people with the, like, higher skill sets. And I don't have any business playing this. And the really cool thing about Celeste is it encourages you to keep playing it. And every time I had doubts, there was that, like, you can do this. And it was just like, and then you just kept building it, just like kept building your encouragement. And I ended up beating it. I ended up beating it, and I got the the Crystal Hearts. I got the I got the B-side tapes, and I'm just like, I've come really far. And I didn't even think that I was gonna I didn't even think I was gonna beat this stupid game.
you really like took the words out of my mouth there, because like I don't think I've ever played a game that encourages like you as a player so much, like not in like a hand-holdy way, but like every time you mess up and like it restarts so quick, but it doesn't feel like a ha ha you lost, which some games like to do, right? Like I've played Dark Souls, you know, but like it's one of the few games I've ever played where it's like, you got this, you just need another go at it, you can do it. And like, doesn't even say that, it just makes you feel it.
And you even feel like, I mean, even the story of like Madeline and the mountain she's climbing. It's like you're immediately connected with that. You're immediately connected with that goal. She wants to get to the top of the mountain, and it's like, well, so do you. And you feel that, just that immediate connection. And that's what I love about it.
yeah. Like, I don't know. I've played a lot of games. I'm sure you have as well. But there is just something special about how the game weaves things in. And one of the things, I mean, again, I praise the game loads. But one of the things that I like about it is that the number of accessibility options. Like, even, like, you know, part of the skill gradient is, you know, developing as you go to climb the mountain. But even if like you, that really isn't for you, you have the settings inbuilt, no mods, you can just flick them on and just enjoy the experience. So good.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's made so that everybody can enjoy it no matter what. And I'm just like, I cannot believe that I ended up finishing it, and I'm so glad I did.
I mean, I got into the game, you know, it's a streamer we both sort of know, in Death Unites Us. I watched him speedrunning it, and I was like, whoa, this is the wildest stuff I've ever seen in my entire life. Some of the skills in speedrunning the game is stuff that I don't think I physically could do with my hands. Some of those controller movements, right? Those inputs. But then, like, you play the game, and, like yourself, like, I beat all the A-sides, B-sides, C-sides, and Farewell. And then I sat back, and I was like, how the heck did I do that? I don't know. I don't know how I did it. But I did it, and it's done, and it's one of the best experiences of my entire life.
Yep. I completely agree with you. I started out watching Death Unites Us, and I was thinking about the same, you know, I was thinking the same thing. It's like, this is the wildest, craziest thing. It's just, oh my God, best game ever.
it really is like that, you know, it has a trans main character. There's lots of diversity with the rest of the cast. It has mental health themes. Every single track on the soundtrack is a banger. Like, it just has everything. Like, just, yeah.
Definitely.
So I will say, you mentioned you play, like, a lot of platformers. I'm myself going through, like, what I'm calling DKC-a-thon. So I'm playing all the Donkey Kong Country games, because Donkey Kong Country is one of my favorite games ever, like, from childhood. I never experienced the sequels. You know, because I'm a streamer, I threw in some bonus games as well, which was hilarious. I don't know if you ever played Jungle Beat, but you play that with the bongos. That's wild, pun intended. And like stuff like that. Have you played any of those games? Any experience with that?
I've played some of Donkey Kong Country 2, because a friend of mine had a SNES, but that's pretty much it.
I feel like I'm sort of giving too much of the game away, so I do apologize if that's the case. But if I remember rightly, I've seen you do Donkey Kong 64. I saw you playing
yes.
that. How was that? I haven't played that. That's next.
It's frustrating. It's the most frustrating thing. So in order to get to the final boss, there are two coins you need to get, the Nintendo coin and the Rareware coin. Each of the coins are obtainable by doing like an 8-bit arcade game. First one is Jetpack. You have to beat the first Jetpack game. There's like two tiers of the game. There's like two tiers of each game. So the first round is like you get like a golden banana. So what? Yeah, it's like, you know. But the second round is obtaining this, you know, this coin. And once you beat the game the second time, you get the Rareware coin. The Jetpack is for the Rareware coin. The Nintendo coin is for the Nintendo coin is this this game called is the original Donkey Kong game, and
oh, no.
It is hands down the most frustrating thing I've ever played. And I actually bit a controller while playing it when I was a kid. And I still have the Nintendo 64 controller, and there is like this bite mark at the top of the at the top of the controller. I don't know if it was this year or last year, but I did beat it. So yeah, if you're looking to defeat the final boss and get 100%, yeah, you're gonna have to do that. Good luck.
Oh no.
It's the most difficult thing in the world. Fair warning.
Great fun. Okay, so I'm glad I've got that warning. Have you played sort of anything else that like you think is like worth mentioning? Because I mean, again, like I've seen your stream. I've seen you play like Assassin's Creed, seen you do Last of Us, you know, anything else that, like from maybe like last year specifically that really sort of stood out for you?
Oh my gosh. I think one of the most surprising games of last year was Oregon Trail. Not Oregon Trail. Oregon Trail. It's a zombie spin-off of like it's like a zombie apocalypse take of Oregon Trail.
I get it. Organs, not Oregon. Yeah, I get it. Okay.
Yes, and it was really fun. It has a lot of really fun dialogue, and like a lot of like a lot of like really cool different mechanics and things. And the best part is that you can get it's great for streamers because you can get the chat involved and just like you know because you gotta name a party, so you can just put whoever in and just let it and just let the game just do it and just start playing the game. It's great. It's great. I had a lot of fun playing it. I didn't think I was going to have that much fun.
So I think one of the questions, like I say this almost ironically, because I'm a variety streamer technically, but it's very much a spare time thing. I do it like once a week, if that. How do you find being like a variety streamer over leaning really hard into a specific thing? Like what was maybe the thought process behind that decision, if you decided it at all?
Leaning into what? I didn't.
So like I know some people like lean, it's like they just play horror games or just focus on speed running. You know, like what was maybe the decision to go like variety as opposed to that?
Mainly, it was because of my insane backlog. I've got like over 200 games, and they just span. It's like it's just games that I bought from like like I get one game from like Humble Bundle, and then like 10 other games with it, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna do with these, and so now it's like. I was like, well, yeah, I could try this or I could try that over here or, whatever. And I find that it kind of like makes things a little bit, I find that it makes things a little more entertaining, a little more fresh for me and the audience. No. Opposed to being just like a straight horror game player or whatever. I just find like, my strength, I just starting... I guess to answer your question completely, because I like kind of half answered it.
It was a fine answer. Like,
I mean, when I first started out streaming, it was kind of like I'm going to do whatever I want to do. That's kind of how it's always been.
Out of interest, like when did you start streaming?
When did I start streaming? I started streaming at around it's been 2 years now. I actually started it in dedication to my brother, who I committed suicide, and I wanted to pay homage to this idea we had like a long time ago when he was alive, and I just kind of started like I started out playing Mario Kart and kind of spiraled on from like, I just wanted to like play all of his favorite games. And that's just kind of how it started.
Okay. That's one of the I think most personal reasons I think I've ever heard that people got into streaming, I'm not saying that a lot of people got like for the money, but a lot of people just kinda got like, shits and gigs, I guess. So it's quite nice that like there's that like real sort of personal touch to it. How did you kind of manage almost, if you don't mind me asking, but like doing that and going on that journey, but then managing like, being an entertainer? Because that's like the other dimension to Twitch, right? It's not most of the time it's not just you playing a game, but it's being that source of entertainment, right?
Mm-hmm. I guess I've always wanted to be an entertainer. I was really into when I was growing up, I was really into like stand-up comedy, and I was into I wanted to be a magician at some point. My parents got me like, they got me like this little microphone thing with like sound effects and like a laugh track, and then they bought me like a magic kit. With a cardboard table. So yeah, I've always wanted to do something like that. I wanted to be a YouTube vlogger at one point. So it kind of like it kind of just fit itself in there.
Natural talent.
Yeah,
I mean, do you have like a magic trick? Like points redeemable thing on your stream, because if not, you need one. Because like I think you would make an amazing magician.
Oh my god!
Vibe, like on, like legit.
I don't have that. I totally should do that.
I mean, you have time before this episode goes out.
Yes.
That would be good. Pick a card. Pick a card.
You could. Yeah.
Okay, so that's pretty cool. So I mean, like, I always kind of frame it in that. So okay, actually, let me before we move on to the next question, do you feel that like it, content creation broadly speaking, but like, do you feel like that's kind of like your work, like, does it feel like work?
Yes and no. It feels like work when I'm starting. Doesn't feel like we're gonna moving through it. So I mean, to an extent, there's like, I guess, to an extent, yeah, it is work. You know, there's setup involved, and there's a certain level of professionalism that has to go into it. But at the end of the day, no, it really doesn't. It feels like just hanging out with my friends.
Okay. No, I asked that because you know, up to this point on the podcast, you're one of the people that we've had on that, like, you stream more frequently than anyone else. Like, I sort of know that doesn't like really outright say I'm a Twitch professional, you know, sort of thing. So it's kind of interesting because I really enjoy it. It definitely tires me out in a different way to just playing a game for the same amount of time does. So I was kind of curious to get your take on how it feels. So, and I think, again, like, for the benefit of the listeners, can you tell us a little bit about, like, the type of things you do to set up? What do you do before a show, you know?
What do I do before a show?
Do you have a pre-show routine?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. First, I roll out of bed, turn my computer on, set up OBS, set up my, I've got a little tablet that I turn on all the software and everything. I write a little thing for the social media announcement, and then I copy and paste all of that into Discord, Facebook, Twitter, and then I've got all that ready to go. I don't hit enter yet. And then, you know, I do like a half routine, half morning routine. And then I get everything set up. Basically, I get everything set up and just hit start streaming on my tablet. And then I make the announcements on social media. And it's like a 30 minute pre-show. Mm-hmm. And so when I start that, I go get breakfast. and then the stream starts. So yeah, there were a couple of people that were like, the pre-show is too long. Why is it so long? Well, you know.
Now we know.
This is basically my morning routine, guys.
So how, like, I'm kind of asking this because I know how I feel, but, like, can you describe what it's like to press that button? Like, you'll start streaming and put yourself, I mean, I'm aware we're doing it now, but putting yourself, like, out on the internet like that?
Putting myself out on the internet like that.
Press that button.
Oh my God, that's something that I haven't thought about in a very long time. I guess it's, I hope I'm hitting the right button. I've hit the wrong button like many a time.
I mean, are you even a professional streamer if you don't have technical difficulties, like at least every stream?
yeah, right.
So you mentioned that you've been sort of streaming for about 2 years. Like how have you kind of found that? Like, what are your goals? Okay, let's maybe start with that, and then we can sort of break it down. What are your sort of goals going into what is the new year of 2022? You mentioned that you wanted to maybe get onto YouTube content as well.
Yeah, more diversified content. Wow. Why was that so hard to say? I guess, yeah, more diversified content. More of the same, I guess. More nonsense.
If it ain't broke, mm-hmm. don't fix it, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's, I, Yeah, that's definitely definitely one of the main things that, you know, it's like, yeah, I've been doing so well with it. I don't really see anything to change.
Now,
yet.
And again, like, I know this sounds like quite like a strange question. Like, you know, you're in the trade, this is your bread and butter, right? But like, for the benefit of listeners, like, what's it like kind of doing this every day and being involved with people? Like, you know, I know it, but like, you know, your regulars, you know, and like, you're growing yourself like on Twitch. How do you feel about that?
It feels amazing. It feels like I'm making friends, and I feel like I'm definitely I feel like I'm definitely making a difference with some people. I know that there were a couple of people who've told me that that I've become part of their daily routine and that I made a big difference in their lives. And I'm just like, it's really heartwarming. And I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is that like, it really makes me just so happy to know that this stupid thing that I made is making a difference in people's lives. And I feel very humbled by that.
That's a really lovely answer, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, and you know, like, I can feel that emotion coming through there. So I think, like, so let's sort of, you know, we've been going one way, let's go the other. What do you do when you're not like streaming? Because the classic question is, if you stream for X hours a day playing games, surely the first thing you do when you finish isn't press stop streaming and then continue playing games, right?
I don't play games off stream. It's not because I consider it job or anything, or it's like, you know, it's just, it's my time to play games, and that's what I do on stream, is play games, because it, like I said, it's my time to do that. And when I'm not streaming, I'm probably either taking care of appointments or sleeping. That's pretty much it.
That's fair enough. Is there anything like you like to do, like, outside of, you know, again, I always kind of frame it like working, but like, you know, instead of streaming,
like any other, yeah, okay, like any other hobbies or anything that I'm doing. Well, okay, listening to podcasts. I'm listening to audiobooks. Really into like true crime videos and podcasts now, I forgot about one of the big things I don't do, that I don't do on stream because my brain is like not working right now.
I mean, for like listeners' benefit, like, it's New Year's Day as we're recording this, so, you know.
Okay. So, I do photography kind of on the side, and I do like doing that. I do like doing that when I'm not streaming. I haven't done a whole lot of photography lately, but yeah, I'm trying to get back into it.
Nice. What type of stuff do you shoot?
I'm really good at landscape. I'm really good at landscape photography, a lot of nature stuff. I'm trying to get into architectural photography, which is a whole different beast. But I think things are starting to pick up a little bit. And, you know, considering that I don't have to take out my, you know, big DSLRs anymore, you know, because we have We have pretty good phones on our we have pretty good phones on our cameras. Wow, thanks. Pretty good cameras on our phones.
I mean, it can feel that way sometimes, though, right? Like, I mean, you're photography minded. Your camera just comes with a phone.
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, the fact that, you know, I've got like a, you know, at, you know, at the time of recording, I've got like a OnePlus 8T, which is like, you know, one of the best, you know, but you know, one of the best phones with the camera. It definitely feels like a camera with a phone. Definitely feels like a camera with a phone. Mm-hmm. So
nice. So is there anything that, like, so you have a tendency to landscapes? Have you got any that, like, really sort of stand out for you, that, you know, maybe like some of your favorite shots or anything?
One of my favorite shots is a panoramic photo of the the Sandy Mountains here in Albuquerque, and it's one of the photographs that I want to in like the Albuquerque Sunport. It's like so good. I've just wanted it to be there. And a lot of people have told me that my photography, that I should be doing that for a job instead of streaming. But
so, I mean, photography stream, like when? Like,
I maybe something like that. I mean, you know, I was thinking about doing a vlog type thing with photography. Just to show the progress, you know, like take one photo every day and vlog the whole process of doing it. Maybe I could do something with that.
I mean, photography for me is, I mean, like, you know, as you know, you memed about it, but like everyone has a camera on their phones, right? They're all so technologically advanced that you can point at pretty much anything and get a nice photo. You know, I have like a little bit of camera experience, so I know I can play with like the, I use, you know, some manual settings and some brightnesses and contrast and that type of things to get a bit of a nicer photo. People say to me, "Oh, Chris, that's a nice photo." I'm like, "Oh, thanks." You know, but there's that, like, the, you know, actual photography is something that I find really, really interesting. And like, because the level of depth that I think goes into it is something that a lot of people don't pay enough, not respect to, but like are aware of. You know what I mean? I think there's definitely sort of like a market for that. Because I think a lot of the time when you hear about people and they say photography, people just goes, you know, people like to hire photographers for weddings.
Mm-hmm.
I like that's their range.
Yeah. Wedding photography is the most frustrating thing ever.
Because people are unpredictable.
Yes. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And they are very, they're very particular about photos. Particularly wedding photos. So you have to get it right. You have to get it right. I took a picture of somebody's, I did baby photos at one point, baby and family photos for a friend of mine. And, the father-in-law's eyes were shut in one of the photos. I was like, how am I going to fix this? So, fortunately, I'd taken two photographs of the same subject, and I ended up photoshopping his open eyes over his closed eyes, and it worked. And it's like, it looks terrible zoomed. It looks absolutely horrible zoomed in, but like, you know, if you don't look at it too hard, it looks pretty good.
I mean, the one on the frame on the mantle, it's 4x6. No one's looking at it too hard anyway. It looks fine.
Yeah.
Like, we've all just learned a little bit about how the sausage is made.
Yes. That was a very, like I said, it was a very dirty trick that I did. It was really cursed to look at it for like four and a half hours trying to get this dude's eyes like positioned correctly and like move them around. And
Nice. So I usually sort of like, usually when I speak to people, I end up sort of like defaulting to game talk, but I obviously know that's sort of like your work. So have you sort of like shot anything recently? Is there anything that you're really like looking forward to going out and, you know, getting some snaps of?
Like I said, city photos, architecture is something that I really want to get. I really, really want to start kind of like honing my skill. I really want to like words. I really want to get better at. Mm-hmm. And I think a couple of my recent photos, they've been amazing. They've been just like, you know, they've been I definitely like working with I definitely found out that I like symmetry and angles a lot, and so I'm trying to work with that. I recently downloaded an app from my phone that that supposedly does night photography, so I want to try to do that. Ooh. At some point. So like, you know, like stars and stuff like that, but like, you know, living in the middle of the city, there's so much light pollution, you can't even see the stars. So I don't know when I'm gonna get around to doing that, but it's definitely a lot of city stuff right now, because that's kind of where I'm at right now. That's all that really is available.
Okay, that makes sense. So I mean, so going, let's go back to sort of stream-centric kind of stuff. I'd like to kind of tap into, again, sort of maybe I'm sort of spoon-feeding a bit too much of my own sort of thoughts into it, but can you talk to us a little bit about the community kind of management aspect of it? You know, because obviously you talk about like when, you know, you have like your hobbies and interests, and maybe sort of attesting to like the difficulty in balancing that. Because, and again, it you know, for listeners' benefit, maybe you've never even heard of streaming before, right? Like, it's not just you turn it on, you do your business, and then that's it, right? Like, there's more to the job than that.
Yeah. Community management. Oh, my gosh. Discord is definitely something that's, like, when I set up the Discord server, it was a hot mess. It really was. It was the hottest of messes. I had an admin come in and fix it, only because it was bothering him.
Nice.
But so far I've not had any, I've had technical problems, but I haven't really had anything that was really nothing social yet. Everybody so far has been pretty cool. So it really hasn't been that big of a deal for me.
Okay. So relating back to, you said, let's dial it back a little bit more. So like what, just to, again, for kind of breaking it down, but like what are those extra components that you do as a content creator that aren't just when you're on stream, right? Because you mentioned like setting up a Discord and stuff, but that takes time. You mentioned social media, like, do you feel like you have to put a lot of extra resources into those?
I guess, yeah, putting, setting up rules and other things for like I said, you know, the Discord is all I can think about right now. But, you know, I'm thinking, you know, towards the, you know, the YouTube side of things, I guess, you know, you talked about, you know, content creation, editing and so forth is a big deal. Uploading, putting extra effort into editing and uploading stuff, and also guess. Really isn't anything else. Any other, I guess there wouldn't be any other extra resources that I'd be putting into the post stream type of stuff, mm-hmm. other than, you know, getting, you know, if I were to record a let's play or something, then yeah, that takes editing, takes time to upload. But it's pretty much and also, you know, promoting said YouTube channel and saying, hey, yeah, you know, this week's video is up or whatever, you know, it definitely need to post that to the social media, and I guess that's it.
It's a really, like, in my opinion, in the least, I think it's a really difficult kind of thing, because there's that kind of, you'll hear some people, and I'm not saying it's a right or wrong thing, but you'll have some people that are just like, recycle everything, put it everywhere, like, you know, you'll produce, like, get clips of your stream, put it on TikTok, you know, get it on Instagram, you know, post whenever you go live, that type of, that, like, plan, right? There are also, like, others that just sort of, like, I have a YouTube, I have a Twitch channel, I use both. A lot of the times I just sort of export directly from Twitch. It does take a lot of time. Like, I'll finish a stream and I need to spend an extra, like, hour, maybe two, moving stuff onto YouTube, scheduling all of that. And that's like a direct, like, one-to-one kind of, I'm just cutting out the breaks, really. It's not, like, polished. But it is, like, a different animal, and it can almost be difficult to try and, like, you mentioned diversifying before. A lot of people always talk about, like, diversifying income, diversifying audience, like, you know, have all these different avenues, and it can be quite difficult to kind of, like, manage them all, I think. So, like, it you know, there isn't really a question in here, but it's kind of like, you know, it's really easy for people to say, well, why don't you just do X, right? And not necessarily having an understanding of the fact that it really does take a lot to have, like, just a successful Twitch community and a successful stream before you add anything else to it.
Yeah, definitely agree with you on that. I definitely agree that, you know, takes time to do those extra tidbits, things that people really don't know about. It's also, you know, letting people know, you know, also letting it, also merging said communities is kind of a hard thing to do. I know that it's like, you know, the YouTube community may not know about Twitch, and Twitch may not know about YouTube. So you need to, like, kind of like, hey, yeah, you know, I'm posting this stuff and, you know, I'm recording this stuff on Twitch. You know, you can come over here and watch it live or not, or, you know, it's difficult.
And we're adding, like, that third spanner in the works now, because we're talking about these platforms while on a podcast, which people might have got from anywhere else on the internet. And you're like, because, I mean, you know, I'll be really honest, I'm a really, really bad, like, viewer. I'm so bad. Like, I stream, like, once a week, and it's genuinely just because I'm busy, and I end up getting way too sucked into, like, people's streams. Like, I love getting in chat, I love having a bit of a laugh, you know, and I have to, like, stop myself doing that, because I'll just distract myself. So I feel like it's almost better to, like, just to stick to one, and I can see why people don't go from one to the other a lot. Do you have a preference? Like, do you tend to, like, as a viewer, watch more YouTube or Twitch?
I watch more YouTube than I watch Twitch. And I don't know, I don't necessarily know why. I guess, okay. So I just thought of something. I watch, if I'm going to sit down and maybe, you know, have, like, you know, yeah, you know, if I want to watch a let's play and just kind of chill out and, you know, maybe, you know, have dinner watching, you know, like a let's play on my phone or whatever, I'll go to YouTube. If I want to lurk, I'm going to Twitch. Like for example, you know, there's this craft streamer who I'm really good friends with. And I just tune into her stream just to kind of chill out and talk and just do basically nothing. You know, I'm like, you know, I'm cooking, I got her stream on, you know, I'm like, you know, doing whatever. And then I switch it off because I'm about to go eat, and I switch to a Let's Play. So I guess that's why that's like both sides of the, I guess that's what I do. You know, I watch YouTube when I just want to, you know, chill and watch something. And I watch Twitch when I want to, like, you know, chill and, you know, just do whatever.
It's that kind of like
a lurker.
Well, yeah, it's like lurking, right? Like we would call, like, so in psychology, we would refer to that as like directed attention, right? So, and like you're describing it perfectly for us, right? In that if you just want something on in the background while you're doing something else, like cooking, you're happy to lurk on a Twitch stream. And by the way, it's worth pointing out, that is one of the best ways you can support a streamer. Like, just lurk on their streams, right? Like, just be there, like, being present, whether you're chatting or not, like that. Like, I cannot overstate how helpful that is, right? People always think of, like, support and, like, think about it, like, monetarily, right? But, like, just being there is great. But then when you're like, okay, right, I'm ready to give my media my full attention, you're like, hey, YouTube, and you want to watch something specific. So that's like a really, really good way of kind of like breaking it down. As I kind of mentioned, for me, I'm really bad at being distracted by the thing I'm supposedly lurking on. So I end up getting really too invested in it.
Exactly. I mean, sometimes, you know, sometimes I'm lurking and then a streamer says something interesting and I'm like I'm doing groceries. I'm walking home, and I got like, I like stop in the middle of a sidewalk, to like chat for a second.
Nice. So I mean, so you mentioned a few things that you're sort of interested in. But what type of, do you watch like Let's Plays of the same type of games that you play, or is it like you watch stuff that you don't play?
I watch stuff that I don't play or that I'm interested in, like. Like for example, I watch a lot of Let's Plays of Five Nights at Freddy's. I don't want to play that. There's another, like, The Evil Within. I've seen some people play that. Saw Markiplier play it. I don't want to play that.
Not watching like Five Nights at Freddy's like worse than playing it though? Because I mean, part of the horror is the tension and that you're in control. But I feel like I would struggle more watching someone else, knowing that I couldn't, like, do anything. I'd almost find that worse.
That's interesting, because I don't feel that way. I feel like playing horror games kind of puts you into... It's playing a game for me is very personal. In terms of, like, you know, if I'm holding that mouse or holding that controller, I'm in the game. I'm that character. I'm, you know, playing. But if I'm watching somebody play it, I'm in the third chair, and it's not as bad for me.
Okay.
Because I'm experiencing it along with them and not experiencing it for myself. So it's just kind of like that, it's kind of like that takeaway, that's kind of like, it pushes that that experience, it makes things a lot less frightening for me.
Okay.
If I'm watching somebody play a horror game opposed to playing it,
because there's that like age-old joke, isn't there, of like, you watch a horror movie and in the first 5 minutes you're like, just don't walk into the clearly dangerous and haunted place. End credits. You know, like, and that's the kind of, like, for me, like, watching people play, it would be like, oh no, like, I can't influence this in any way. So yeah, no, it's an interesting sort of preference, and like, that's cool.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Have there been any, like, particular, not like it's like in terms of an ad, but like, you know, is there anything that you've watched and gone, oh, that was really something special?
In terms of what, like a game or like
Anything. I was sort of like maybe like leaning towards like Let's Plays when I asked, but just anything.
I think there's an anime called there's an anime that I watched recently called Parasite, the Maximum, mm-hmm. and it's a horror anime, and it's like only one season, but it was really good. And it kind of like it touched on the concept of humanity and like the world and kind of like, what is humanity? What is, and it was a really smart way of like approaching those type of topics while also being just insane with like the gore and stuff. So
I have seen it. I really enjoyed it as well. But I completely agree with you in that like the thematic stuff is great, but it's also just Japanese anime with like boss fights and like stuff.
Yeah. I thought it was very special in terms of like, this is really something that a lot of people gotta watch. It's pretty good.
Yeah, if you can handle like some of the excessive violence, it's well worth watching. I agree. I think it's a very, very good anime and it's a very, very good story. I really, really enjoyed it actually. I think no spoilers, but some of the development with some of the characters is great and just like any, I think, good anime, maybe just any good story, it has some really, really amazing comic relief. Particularly around, like, the premise is that there's, these parasites inhibit the bodies of people. Not like anything else that we've ever seen, haven't heard of zombies before or anything. It's like the relationship between like, the main character and his parasite is a really comical paradigm, right? Like,
yeah, it's like, it really is. And then the relationship that they have with the other ones, because obviously it's unique in terms of like, in terms of like their species and what it means for them. Because for them, it's almost like, they're a new type of species and I don't want to get into too much of spoilers, but
This is all like first episode stuff. Like, don't worry. Like, it's well worth a watch. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. So I do want to then sort of, let's look forward. We mentioned some of the other exciting stuff you're going to be bringing. But what sort of is coming up on like your stream? What kind of the stuff that we can look forward to?
I guess more. I don't really have anything else planned. I have a series called Freak Show Fridays, which basically I play games that people either haven't heard of before or haven't games that have had a whole lot of attention or games that like really don't have, or games that have really interesting backstories. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be doing more of that. I've thought about a couple of weirder games weirder indie games that people haven't heard of. as soon as I finish with Links to the Time Sweeper, which I'm not looking forward to because that's like the worst game ever.
Oh no.
But anyway, so but yeah. More Freak Show Fridays, more weird games. I'm planning on getting into the Persona series, maybe. So more RPGs, I guess. I know that I have something planned for I have something planned for my birthday, which is coming up next month.
Nice.
So that's gonna be fun. It's gonna be something totally different, something that the stream hasn't seen before. So I'm hoping it's gonna be interesting. So I hope things go well.
And you know,
I hope it isn't.
When this airs, this will still be coming up. So if you're hearing this, you'll want to be checking this out.
Yeah, I hope it's not a complete dumpster fire, but but I hope it. Yeah, I hope it all works out. So,
nice.
Yeah, in February, look forward to that.
So I know you did. I forget exactly when it was, but you did like a was it? I think a streamiversary event. You did like a 24-hour stream. Like in 2021, was it, or 22, was it even 2020? I don't know. But like, you did like an event for that fairly recently.
Yeah, it was somewhere in March, I believe, and that's about when my like I said before, March was when my brother was born. So so I started it on his birthday, and I just continued from there. So I'm probably going to be doing another, not 24 hour, I'm probably going to be doing like a 12 hour stream, because 24 hours was horrible.
24 hours is another animal. Like,
it was not great. It was not great. It was like, you know, every 4 hours I had to get up and walk, because it was so exhausting. But luckily I didn't do it like right off the bat when I had like nobody around. I actually had this pretty sizable community who like supported me, and it was there. It's like, hey, yeah, I'm gonna be here as much as I can. There was one guy who was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be here like the entire stream. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I mean, like, it's, yeah, I've done a 24 hour myself, and it's something else. Like, I mean, I again, like, my perspective, like, I remember, you know, time zones, but like, I remember seeing you start it, and then like, I woke up like the next day for me, and you're like 12 hours in, and like, I was getting ready to go to bed like the next day, and you're like, not finished yet. And I was like, that's wild. Like, 12 hours, like, you shouldn't be allowed to stream for more than 12 hours, I think, just for health and safety. Like,
yeah. It wasn't great. Yeah, like I said, I was getting loopy. There was kimchi ice cream involved, which was not great. That clip is up on the channel, by the way, if you want to watch it, because it was just horrible.
You know, it's time to end the stream when you just start like seeing apparitions as well, like chats, yeah, just, like, talking back to you, like.
Or you start thinking to yourself, maybe I could just sleep right now. I could just stop right now. I just want to sleep right now.
Okay, right. Hot take though. I legit reckon there would be a market. There is a gap in the market for sleep streams. We have, like, yo, come study with me, right? like, come nap with me. Tell me that wouldn't take off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's, there was one streamer who ended up, like, there was, I don't remember who it was, but they did. They streamed themselves sleeping, and they ended up, like, blowing up. I don't remember what streamer it was, but I think there's a rule against it now.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure. Don't take it from me, but I think I heard it from another streamer. It was like, yeah, I could probably just sleep right now, but I think there's a rule. I think they said, like, you know, there's like a rule against that. I think at least that's what they said. And so I'm taking it from them. I don't know.
I mean, I can kind of see why there would be, like, at least some advice around that. But I don't know. I mean, if you've been on Twitch, people have some pretty interesting stuff on there. Someone having a nap wouldn't be the strangest thing I'd seen.
Yeah. The mukbang streams have gotten pretty popular, which is really, like, you know, watching somebody eat on stream. I guess like, you know, if you're taking a lunch break, that's considered.
I mean, you know what they say? If there's a market for it, it's somewhere on Twitch.
Probably, yes. I mean, that kind of, like, that's kind of a internet rule 101. You know, it really is. Yeah. Internet rule number one: if there's an interest for it, it's probably out there.
Yeah. So I think before we get on to, I've got like a nice blue sky question before we get into the quick fire ones. But I just kind of like to talk about, like, you know, one of the things we'd like to get into here is why we do things. And you mentioned you have a community that you feel greatly humbled by, which is, you know, it's incredible. You mentioned you have a very personal reason why you started streaming. But, like, you know, if you could maybe unpack for us a little bit, like, how do you find being you on Twitch? Because I think, again, it's important to stress for the listener's benefit that, like, that, you know, you're entertaining. You mentioned it yourself. You're an entertainer when you're on stream, right? So there is a bit of a gap between the mask and you when you're live, right? Because it's performative. So what's it like sort of being you on Twitch? How does that make you sort of feel? Because, again, like, for listeners' benefit, like, you know, this is, if you are imagining going to your day job 9 to 5, you know, and everyone's a bit different in work than they are at home, right? But, like, what's that kind of like for you when your 9 to 5 is being on front of a camera streaming?
For me, I'm normally, I being on stream for me is just, I'm goofy and loud and you know, very energetic. I kind of overreact to stuff. And I think that's kind of and I heard this from another, I heard this from another streamer, is it's like, you know, you got to take those parts of your, you got to take parts of your personality that would be the most entertaining and then just bump them up just a little bit. And I think that's what I've done. I thought to myself, you know, well, that's, you know, being disingenuous, but I think I've leaned into that more and more. If you were to hang out with me in real, if you were to hang out with me in real life, I'm probably very reserved in terms of, like, yeah, I'm not very outgoing. I'll just sit in a corner and just be on my phone, whatever. You know, if there's a dog, I'll be hanging out with them.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like, you know, yeah, on stream, I wouldn't say that I'm totally different, but There's definitely, you know, those particular aspects have been kind of, you know, have gone front and center because, you know, it's what people really, you know, that's what my community, and it's what my community has found the most entertaining about me. It's just being goofy and crazy and like not the, like having, you know, just a little less self, just a little less dignity for myself is what, you know, I've got a channel redemption to take a shot of Tabasco. So, I mean, you know, when that happens, it's happening. It's not great. It's not great. It's not great. It's not great.
I think, you know, you don't have to answer, but like, you know, do you, like, you know, you're saying you have to dial up, you know, a few aspects of your personality, right? Like, but do you enjoy that? Like, does it feel like an effort? You know what I mean? You said like generally, like streaming isn't, it doesn't take that much out of you kind of thing. Pardon me. But it's like, you know, does that like feel like a strenuous activity?
Yeah, it's a little exhausting, but it's not like I have to put more effort. It's not like I have to make myself. I don't have to put more effort into it than I just have to put just a little more effort into it. It's not like I have to be. I mean, it definitely tires me out, but it's not like a huge undertaking for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I can easily just lean into it and just go like, you know, full ham. I'm just like, I've done a couple of IRL streams where I've just been my, you know, yeah, you know, being my streamer self outside, which is that was interesting being out in public. I had to like forget that there were other people around me. My neighbor probably, you know, my neighbor probably thinks I'm insane because of like all of the yelling and screaming I do.
I mean, that's only a term they use in court. We don't use that in society anymore. Let them think it. You're just a normal person doing normal person things. Because if normal people aren't weird, then I don't want to know what is.
I once said on stream, you know, if I were to be murdered in my apartment, I'm sure my neighbor would just think that I'm in my apartment doing my day job. Sometimes
it reminds me of that meme of like what text would you send to someone if you wanted to alert to them that you were in danger? Like, what would be like really out of character? It's just like yours is like, no, they just think that was normal because that's just the day job.
yeah. Sometimes I like, you know, scream and they go help me.
Whoops.
Yeah, right.
Nice. So I always like to ask this like blue sky question. And you can kind of take it however you want, but I kind of always relate it to like the work that you're doing. But if you had no limitations and unlimited resources, like, you know, time, money, people, what would be like the project that you would want to do?
Definitely like the photography vlog idea. If I were to have unlimited resources to do that, I probably would be doing that. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like there's a lot that I could do with it. And I have so many ideas that I could put into that. Like, you know, if, you know, for example, if I could drive, which I can't.
I mean, say,
you know, getting out and getting out to the mountains and getting out and, you know, and driving out, you know, into the countryside and, you know, and taking photos of, you know, of just serene places and just, you know, and, you know, maybe live streaming it would be something, you know, integrated into doing it and just like, you know, visiting places that I haven't visited before and just exploring. And, you know, that's something that, that's really something that I would really like, you know, like I said, you know, if I had unlimited resources to do it, I probably would be doing that.
You've heard of Bear Grylls, but have you heard of Dolphin Grylls? Because that's what I'm hearing here. But like with beautiful landscape photography expeditions.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, and being an artist is hard without very many resources.
I feel
and.
That.
Yeah, going back to the photography thing, like, you know, people have asked me, you know, why aren't you a photographer? I'm like, have you seen how much work they have to put in? And have you seen how much money they end up not getting? They, you know, it's like, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy being an artist.
So, look, you know, we don't need to be talking about numbers or anything, right? Pardon me if this is a dumb question. But you're saying, like, oh, you know, it's tough being an artist. But could you not argue that you streaming is still you being an artist?
It is an art form. It really is. It really is. Now that I think about it, it really definitely is. You know, you're putting so much creativity into your persona, into the way that you interact with games and the way that you interact with your community. That is an art form. And you're right. I mean, it also, you know, graphic design, getting, putting work into graphic design, you know, graphic design in itself is an art form, and putting all that together is an art form in itself. So yeah, you are right.
I mean your graphic design, you could literally do like degrees in graphic design, right? I feel like if you wanna be involved in content creation generally, but like especially stuff like streaming it and your videos, because there's a video element to it, like you have to have either the people, like I didn't do my graphics. I had a friend do mine because they were very nice, and you know, I paid them for it, because you should always pay artists for the work, always. But like, you know, I had someone do like my overlays and graphics and stuff, and I can fiddle about with those a little bit, but I am awful at graphic design. Awful, like zero skill points in it, minus, if that's even possible. Like, it's not for lack of trying, I'm just really bad at it. And there's a lot of different creative skills you have to try and meld together to make the magic happen on stage, if you will.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, I'm a hobby programmer, hobby graphic designer, hobby hobby videographer, photographer, and all of those things, all of those things, like, you know, I'm really, you know, good at, you know, adapting, you know, software and different other things. And, but like the thing about it is that, like, and what I've told people is that, rolling all of those, it's like picking one of those things to do, like being a photographer, being a programmer, all those other things, it's like it would require me to enter some sort of requiring me to enter some sort of path that I don't really want to go down yet. And so being a streamer kind of rolled all those things into one and just kind of made it what it is. I mean, I have custom graphics and custom widgets and things, you know, behind the scenes. A featured friend of the week thing was my idea, and I made it into its own little, you know, I programmed all that, and that's, you know, that's something that I would be unable to do if I had that skill. And you know, now it's become just a part of the stream. It's become part of the, you know, and like I said, all of the skills that I've had, you know, all of the skills I developed, just hobby, has just become this. So,
and it's worth pointing out, by the way, and I say this as one myself, but like, it's very easy to be a cookie cutter streamer. Like everything, pretty much everything that I've got is all the stuff people have made, the software allows me to use, and stick or brick it to my stream, and it works. You know, like, it functions. To actually then go in and like make something yourself, like program it yourself, is like, that's a top tier thing. Like, I'm just pointing that out for like sheer respect to it, okay? Like, you know, it's not easy to just make a thing like that, right? I'm also really glad that you kind of touched on that, because we talked about like your origin into streaming, and you know, I don't know about you, but I love a good origin story. So that was going to be sort of my next question of like, okay, so why streaming then? Why is that the main thing? You have just kind of answered it, but like, you know, what is it that you think will keep you streaming for the next, let's say, just say 2 years, for example, you know, double your time served before maybe going into anything else?
Well, as long as people keep watching and supporting me, I will keep doing it. As long as people enjoy it, I'm glad to provide them that content.
That's fair enough. Bold, true answer, that, let's be honest. Because again, like, it's weird to, like, I mean, I've had to explain what Twitch is before, like, to people, but like, it really is something different when like you are quintessentially just sticking yourself in front of a camera and putting that online and seeing if people turn up. And you know, we've all had moments where you've been playing to an empty theater. You know, it happens. People have lives. That's okay.
Yeah, that was like my first 6 months of streaming.
Yeah,
nobody.
Like it happens, but where you do get people to like come and turn up and enjoy it, you're like, okay, well, this is great. And then, as you say, like, you meet people and stuff, and that's really cool. Because I think the other element to that is that, like, and again, you've said it yourself, but it's like, you have to enjoy doing it in the first place. Like, if you're sitting there and expecting, like, you know, hundreds of people to just stroll in on the fly, that's not necessarily how it's gonna go down. Like, you know. But it's kind of better to have that mindset of like, well, I'm just doing it because I enjoy it, and if other people enjoy it, that's great, I'll keep doing it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, yeah, have there been some times that, you know, my viewer count was low or my donation count was low, and I was like, nobody likes me? Yes, there have been those moments, but I enjoy it nonetheless. You know, people who show up first time to my stream definitely see that. You know, they're like, wow, this guy really enjoys doing what he's doing.
And that is the key to anything you do in life. You want to enjoy it.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, last couple of questions are all the quick fire round.
All right, here we go.
And as ever on the show, I like to give my guests the questions beforehand. You can't pretend to be caught out. But the theme is, you are taking a break away to a retreat of your choice. You're not like stranded there, you're deliberately going. And you can take with you one film slash box set, an album, a book, and a video game of your choice. What do you take with you?
Movie or box set? All right. Let's see. Movie or box set? I guess Fraggle Rock, because it's like really fun, and you know, of course, I'm a fan. There's a Red Fraggle right back there. And then book. I don't really read much books.
Take an audio book, and like, you know, because it's a mystical realm, it will all work, and you'll have the unlimited battery and such to listen to.
Okay, let's see. Book. The Martian by Andy Weir.
Ooh.
Yes.
Nice. Okay. What about an album?
An album? Oh, gosh. Man, I haven't thought about that in a long time. You know what music really doesn't get tiring for me? The soundtrack of the Celeste soundtrack. So,
that's a solid choice. But I tell you what, I'll give you all of them in one like nice little box set, because they're all good. Okay, and then last but not least, what video game would you take?
What video game would I take?
You're on this retreat indefinitely.
Indefinitely.
You're like, I'm taking all the time I need.
Probably. You know, I've heard Final Fantasy 14 is great. Unlimited content.
That's a good shout. You know, I've said this before, but like, I've never really played like a proper MMO. I was never like, you know, I never had the money to like stump up for like a monthly subscription for like WoW or anything like that. And then I played a few of the free ones that all then just turned into pay to win. Then I got bored of those. I'd maybe chuck a couple of quid at it and then just be like, this is a vicious cycle, I'm done. But if I was going to play an MMO, I think it'd be Final Fantasy 14. Because I know like the lore, I know enough about Final Fantasy, I think, to help me get more enjoyment out of it. Like, I wouldn't have to learn anything new. I'd just be like, learn the new gameplay mechanics, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. I haven't played any other Final Fantasy game other than 7. But the thing about it is that, like, you know, there's a lot of side quests and things to do. And I love side quests. I love side quests and, like, completionists. Things, and I'm like hoarding items and selling them and doing it, like, yeah, that would be my life at that point. And that's why, like, you know, like a friend of mine asked me, when are you gonna play Final Fantasy 14? I'm like, when am I gonna stop playing Final Fantasy 14 after I started?
Nice. Okay, so actually I'd like to drop in. Have you got like any particular, you're a bit, you know, you mentioned you're a completionist. What is like your completionist, like biggest achievement?
My biggest achievement, probably Psychonauts 1. I got all of the figments, all of the achievements. I beat the game, like, I beat the game like on. I don't think there's a hard mode. No, there wasn't. But getting all the figments, that was not great. And then getting the achievement for that figment was like, you had to like, have you played Psychonauts 1?
So I played the original one like ages ago and like don't really remember much of it. And I recently started replaying it, and I've got two sitting there as well.
Oh my god.
But I like it. So, I know it's good. Do you know what, like, you know what I mean? But like, I just can't remember playing the full thing that well.
So for those who haven't played Psychonauts 1, the figments are absolutely the worst collectible in the game because they're 2D and transparent. And in Psychonauts 1, I think Psychonauts 2 has a couple of them, but in Psychonauts 1, probably 40% of the figments are moving as well. And so they're like constantly spiraling and moving around. They're transparent and 2D, so you're not going to see them. Those are hands down the worst collectibles. And it took me forever. So yeah, that's like, you know, if I got a physical trophy for that, it would be like right here. It'd be on display forever. I'm not letting that thing out of my sight. Yeah. I'm the most proud of that.
So legitimate question. And I'm not taking the mic. But like, what was it that made you go, I am gonna get all of these?
It's my favorite game. And if there's something that I can't, for me, if there's something that's difficult for me to do and I really want to, if there's something difficult for me to do, if there's something difficult that's presented to me in a favorite game of mine, I'm going to do it. And that's the thing about, going back to Celeste. Yeah, I don't want to keep talking about Celeste all the time. I don't want to make this podcast 90% of Celeste.
But we should, because let's be honest, Celeste is totally deserving of it.
Yes. It's a game that I enjoy, and I want to finish that game. I can see my progress, and I'm just like, well, now I want to finish it. You know, it's like Assassin's Creed Origins. It was that same thing where it's just like, I enjoy this game. I want more of it. I just want to complete it. I want to finish it. I want to be proud that I finished it. So, yeah, that's like, you know, that's why I set out to complete anything, is because I like playing it. And if I don't like playing it, I'm not going to finish it.
Fair enough. And you said Psychonauts is your favorite game?
It is hands down one of my favorite games. Hands down, just, along with Celeste, it's just, the humor is great. The gameplay is great. It holds up unlike any other game that I've played. It's well designed. There's very little bugs actually in Psychonauts 1. I haven't broken the game ever, which was like, that's a big statement, but I don't think I've broken it. I don't really think I've broken it.
That's bold.
Yeah.
That's fair. No, I mean, like, it's interesting, like, you know, I recently started replaying it, especially with like 2, because, weirdly enough, that organization I am a streaming ambassador for, Take This, mental health charity that focuses on the gaming community, #ad, not really, but like they're a great charity. I love being involved with them. They actually produced a content warning for Psychonauts 2, and they were sort of involved in the process of that. And then they were at the beginning of Psychonauts 2. There is by Rafael Bacanozo, or Dr. B, from Take This, and it just says, you know, this game talks about mental health themes, and it often approaches them with humor and in a light-hearted way, but it is designed to help promote discussion. It's not meant to be stigmatized and that sort of thing. And it does like a good job of being able to touch on those subjects that can be really challenging in a really accessible way, I think. You know, as I say, I haven't played like the second one myself. I've seen gameplay of it, and I'm replaying the first, but you know, while these things are difficult and challenging to sort of talk about, it does it in such a way that I think is very accessible to everyone, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, the Milkman, conspiracy. That's like, you know, paranoid schizophrenia, and there's another one. Gloria, that plays on Manic Depression. I think it's I don't remember the term. Being manic depressive definitely having like, you know, some sort of like dual, not personality, but like dual
experiences.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Even like, you know, early on in the first one, you know, it's like post-traumatic stress.
You know, through,
through experiences of war and things like that. Like, they're so, you know, it almost feels patronizing to say they're so colorfully represented, because it's kind of the point of the game. But like the actual, you know, looking at it through someone who's like, you know, studying psychology and looking at video games, like, there is so much in there, like, through that lens, to really be able to speak to people, that I think, you know, you, like, you know, there's psychology in every game, right? But like, you know, not every game does it right. And, you know, I mean, you know, it's a horror trope. You wake up in an asylum, you know. But it, yeah, for me, it does it really, really well.
Yeah, and the, you know, the premise about Psychonauts is like, you know, the premise with Psychonauts and being a Psychonaut is like, you know, exploring people's minds and not necessarily extracting information, but also helping them to realize, you know, helping them through their inner demons, their mental illnesses. Right, exactly. Yeah, their emotional baggage. And I think it's very well done in terms of like, it's very well thought out. And that's why it has become my favorite series, is because of the way that it explores mental health and the way it talks about it, that, like you said, is not patronizing.
I mean, it's almost like, you know, like, let, you know, being, if I was being really critical, like, you know, it's not perfect, but I mean, I don't, you know, what is, right? But even like a game that's like, yeah, we have people that go into people's heads and help them out with stuff because that's a thing people need, is like a really, you know, it's a metaphor for everyone should have access to therapy, right? Like, you know, and even that type of conversation can still be quite difficult to have, even like now.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, the humor in it is so good. Like, there's so many, like, meme-worthy, there are so many meme-worthy quotes. And, but, like, it isn't, like, it's self-aware, but it isn't too self-aware. And it's not, like, and it's definitely, like, you know, they throw you into this world, and you're just kind of, you know, you're exploring it. And it almost makes sense in a way that's just like, you know, it's not like, you know, in some games that throw you into that, it's almost like a, it almost feels like kind of like a Studio Ghibli type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know how Studio Ghibli just kind of throws you into a universe and just expects you to just go along with it. That's what Psychonauts does. And I think they do it in a very smart way.
Oh, yeah. That's, I mean, Studio Ghibli is amazing. So I think that's a really, really good, like, comparison for, like, world building, you know, and, like, that level of immersion and an investment. Like, ultimately, you know, you talk about games, like, what they want is investment from you as a player. And we're talking about with Celeste, like, you instantly want to climb that mountain. That's something you really click with and connect with straight away. And that type of thing can be difficult to find in games, like, for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, games that don't do it very well often have a lot of exposition as to why their universe exists. And it's like, okay, we don't need to know why this universe exists. I want to figure out why, you know, I want to uncover this. I want to see, you know, like, you know, and sometimes it doesn't have to be explained. It really doesn't.
Like, I mean, you know, just an example that comes to mind, like, and I'm not like just ripping the game, but like, say, Final Fantasy VIII, for example, where there are just huge periods of exposition, like, and this is why everything is the way it is. We're conveniently tying this up because we know it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm playing, I'm playing Horizon Zero Dawn right now. And a lot of things to me don't make sense right now. But I know that, like, there are so many things in the game that you can uncover. Like, for example, I walked past this, this village storyteller who was just, it was just background stuff. And she was just talking about the lore of the world and how it became to be and how it came to be. And it wasn't a cutscene or anything. It was an optional, it wasn't even an optional conversation. It was just a conversation that was happening in the background that I just happened to walk past. And it just caught me by surprise. And I was like, I was just sitting there. I found myself just standing there listening to this person, this random NPC, just talk about the world. And I was like, this is crazy. I would have just walked completely past this and missed it. It's completely optional, but I love how, like, it didn't just, like, here's how the world works.
Okay, well, look, I feel like we could keep chatting for a couple more hours, but let's sort of look at winding things down. So I want to say thank you for joining me on the show. Thank you for sharing your story and your expertise in what you do. I will say, firstly, is there anything else that you want to say or sort of give mention to before we wrap up?
Not really. Yes. No, not really.
Okay, then.
I think we've covered everything.
Okay, then my last question for you before we wrap up properly is, and I like to, you know, I like to say this show is about the guests, right? So is there anyone or anything, you can be inspired by many people or many things, but is there anything that inspires you or do you take particularly sort of energy from that you would like to give a little shout out to now?
I'd like to give a shout out to, give a shout out to a streamer friend of mine, Dev Unites Us. He kind of got me into streaming, kind of got me thinking about it. And his energy is just so, like, next level. I was like, you know, I was inspired to be, his community got me going. Is like, you know, one of his friends, Mad Mike, who's like the first guy who showed up to my stream and like told me to keep going. So yeah, big shout out to Death United Citizen and his community, because without him, I don't think I would have gotten started. I wouldn't think that it was ever possible.
I mean, like, hard same. You know, like, just like, I think he and the 4A community are just so encouraging. Like, I'd never have thought like streaming could be something I'd do. And like, he's just like, yeah, just give it a go, you'll be great, like, just go for it, like, if you like it, just keep doing it.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's deceptively simple advice, right? Just deceptively simple. Like, it shouldn't be that easy, but it really is.
Definitely. We
talked about a lot of the work you have to put in if you want to keep doing it, but like that, just like giving it a go, like, you can, the software comes with, you know, cookie cutter stuff. Like, you can just click a couple clicks, it's there. You can try it. Real easy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, even, you know, the NVIDIA drivers that I've got right now, you know, you can just, you know, the software that comes with it has the ability to stream on Twitch and you can just start it. And even Windows, Xbox, whatever, you know, the PlayStation, whatever, you can just stream it all to Twitch. Doesn't matter. You can just start it. And, you know, once you start it, you know, you can see if you like it or not. And for most people, it's usually a hard, I'll keep going. It's...
So where is the best place for people to find you on the internet?
Twitch.tv/AdventDolphinRider.
All Advent key links will be below this, wherever you found it, in the description for you to be able to connect with him in that way. And the very last thing is, do you have a question for me? I always like to turn the tables on myself. I will warn, I've been asked the one film, etc. before. But is there anything you want to ask me before we finish?
What was your inspiration for streaming?
Inspiration for streaming? Okay, so this is a neat little story, but I originally sort of like properly got the bug for streaming way back in July 2020 when I found out I was going to be doing my PhD. And I was made up by it. It was great, obviously, because 2020, you know, it was a nice little nugget sort of in there. And I thought, well, okay, what can I do to celebrate and give something back, you know, sort of put something back out into the universe. So I was like, okay, what can I do? Obviously, the world was, you know, not in a great way for sort of like, I don't know, say running a race and getting sponsorship that way. So I looked at streaming and I was like, okay, well, playing a game online and putting that out to video, I can do that. It's a very safe thing to do. So that's what I did. And I mentioned it before, but like I did a 24-hour streaming event. It was for charity. It was for Macmillan Cancer Support in the UK, a charity very close to my heart. And you know, even like they had like materials, like an overlay and like a starting screen and ending screen, just like out the box. So I had to do nothing, just get my webcam in there, make sure the game capture was working, and just turn up and do it. It was wild and like the best, dumbest thing I've ever done in my entire life. Because as we were saying, 24-hour streaming is hard. And I
you started a 24-hour stream right off the bat?
First stream, like, ever. And like
what?
I did that and I was like, oh, I really want to like do this again and just put it down because I was still like working full-time at the time. And then like, so it was January 2021, because I'm stupid. And like the week after I had officially started my PhD, I went, you know what? I want to start streaming because let's get ourselves a platform to chat about psychology, mental health, disability. You know, let's take on a side career because why not? I'm a busy boy. and just like, yeah, like it's actually coming up to my streamiversary this January. And it's funny looking back at like how far I've come since like the 24-hour event, which was like essentially like a one shot, and then like the start of the year, like the advancement in like, you know, overlays and just stuff like that. So it's been fun, but like that inspiration was, I wanted to give something back. That was the core of it. And then, as we were just saying, like, you know, inspiration from people like Death Unites Us, like, you know, Solid Snake, previous guest on the podcast, love Marco, great guy. People like Anxiety for me as well, which is really inspirational and encouraging. And it sounds daft because I enjoy playing games, right? That's the principle of why I do it, and it's fun. But also, like, in my work, which is psychology and video games, like, it's kind of great to have a platform where you can talk about that in a way that's easy for everyone to understand. A lot of academia is like behind paywalls and, you know, the ivory tower finger quotes of like, we're gonna write about stuff that you know about, and but like not in a way you can understand, and I really dislike that. So it's nice to be able to like talk about stuff in a really cool way. So like inspired originally to do something good, I got the bug. Inspired by incredible people who do it, and like I fully put my hands up and say I could not stream full time. I just could not do it. Once a week is enough for me. I'm happy with that. And then just like wanting to have like a platform to talk about stuff, really.
Awesome. That's a awesome answer.
This is why I host the podcast and I'm not a guest, because yes. I ramble. Like that's why I get cool people like you to come on and chat about yourselves.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a blast.
Yeah, no, this has been great. So all it remains for me to do is just to, for our visual viewers, click over. But otherwise, I will say goodbye. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. Look after your mind, body, and soul. And until next time, take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Psyched to Be With You. I hope you enjoyed it. just as much as I did. If you did, do please leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. It really helps. Otherwise, check out the description of the episode for the links for the guest, but also to keep up with information about the show and myself. I really hope you enjoyed this listen. Until next time, take it easy. Look after your mind, body, and soul. And I'll see you again for another episode very, very soon. Bye-bye.